This morning dealt with more of the ground strike. Tonight I'm going to talk about the airstrikes. And if you will turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? In other words, have you ever heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? In other words, can you expect such a massive undertaking that quick? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You can't believe such a thing. But as soon as Zion travails, something happens. I'm going to borrow from a text that I've preached from many times, and I'm going to sort of maybe go in a direction from this text that I've probably never gone from, because we usually preach this from a certain angle. But I am going to talk on this subject and this title, Weeping May Endure for a Night. Weeping may endure for a night. Jesus, God, I need your help here tonight. God, I believe, Lord, you want to speak to this church. God, I'm looking at men and ladies who, Lord, you have positioned for a purpose and for a reason. Lord, there are things that you want to do in us and through us, and you want to use us in. And God, I pray, Lord, that we be diligent to allow you to do it, and we would not be slothful, and we would not, Jesus, just allow things to go. But God, I pray, Lord, that we would grab a hold of your word. God, we'd allow your word to grip us and stir us and move us. And God, let your word, Lord, stir our hearts one more time. Lord, the burden that I prayed for this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that we would grab a hold of that. God, that it would not let us go, that it would grip us. God, that we would see and hear and feel like you do. God, that we would see this lost city, this lost region, the way you do. And help me, Lord, to not just be a preacher of your word, but God, help me to be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just told, Brother Fleming, of a story. I was in my brother, and I was talking to Brother Paul Paymer this past Monday, and they were telling me about this jail, or it's actually a prison ministry that is taking place around the Columbus area. And I guess the pastor, Brother Keller, goes in there, and he took my brother in there, and he had my brother there, and my brother preached there, and this and these other things. They have, I guess, in this prison, they literally have built a chapel inside of this prison. These are hardcore criminals who more than likely may never get out. But they're holding services in here, and he said, it's amazing what happens. He says, it is line up, it's like 114, 115 people were there that Sunday. And he says, all across are these musicians, and they're playing music, and they're singing worship courses, and they're singing all these songs, and they're worshiping, and the power of God is moving, and people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and people are getting baptized, and it's an awesome story, Brother Fleming, but it's got a sad undertone, because what he told me was the sad part. The reason all of these musicians are up there and they know all these songs, it's because they're all preacher's kids who are now in prison. They know all the stuff. They know the words of the songs. What opportunity was before them, what opportunity they had. And now, many of them serving life in prison. Now, I'm glad God's using them where they're at. And that's the beautiful thing about God. He'll use you where you're at. But what could have been? I don't just want to be a preacher of the word. I want to be a doer of the word. I was telling my wife, and I'm doing a ramble here for just a minute before I even get into my message. I told you my mind. I've got all kinds of things swirling around. And I was telling my wife, we pulled in to last night, and I looked at my yard. I looked at my gardens, my flower gardens and vegetable gardens, and I said, what a mess have I got? A week of VBS, a week at camp. Who knew that I could get weeds this tall in 2 weeks? I'm like, what in the world? It took my tomato plants months to get that big. Just a short time of neglect. I get more messages out of a garden. Just a short time of neglect. And if you're not careful, you've got a mess on your hands. We cannot neglect what God is commissioning us, what God is telling us. I could preach about the being slothful. I could preach about the brambles and the briars that grow up if we're not careful. But I want to talk to us tonight about weeping may endure for a night. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 30 that for his anger endureth but for a moment. But in his favor is life. That weeping may endure for a night. But we know this passage, right? But joy comes in the morning. We preach it from this angle. Our struggles, our trials, our limitations, they have a season and they have a set end. They will not last forever. They will come to an end, and joy does come. But I want to come from another angle here tonight. I just felt to go this direction. If we don't weep for a night, this morning I preached about the angels rejoice. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I want you to tie that verse with weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If there hasn't been some weeping for the sinner, if there hasn't been some weeping for the lost, if there hasn't been some crying and some seeking God and some touching the throne of heaven, where's the joy? Hopefully I'll break this down here tonight. Hopefully I'll get this. Brother Michael, do you mind if I use you as an example here tonight? I love Brother Michael. my wife has commissioned me. To invest in him. Because God has sent him to us for a purpose. And I believe that. My wife and I do. But it was approximately 2 years ago, wasn't it, Brother Mike, when you first came? The first time you came. And he liked it here, and he was coming for a good period of time. But there were some things not right, and I remember his conversations with me. I've got to do something, because if not, I'm going to slip away. And his whole fear was, I'm going to slip away. I remember those conversations, Brother Michael. You gave me permission, so I'm walking out here. If I start to get too far, you just wave your hand at me. Because I don't like to embarrass people, but I do love Brother Michael, and his testimony is awesome. And as you know, Brother Michael, after a period of time, slipped away. He did. I thank God he never changed his phone number. And I was always able to text him from time to time to say, how you doing? Hope everything's all right. And this winter, we had a month of prayer here at the church every night. What I did not know was that my wife had been praying for him every day. Every day of that time of prayer, she was calling out Brother Michael's name. And she was praying for Brother. In other words, she was weeping for a night. And she prayed. And she prayed. Until one night, he didn't know we were having prayer meeting. He didn't know there was even anything going on to the church. But something inside of him said, I've got to get to the house of God. And my wife was here, and I think Abraham was here. I hadn't even got here yet. Believe it or not, I'm not lying. I was with Elder Brown while he was painting the bus. Little correlations. And I came a little bit later, and when I walked through the doors, here was Brother Michael on his face at the altar, crying out to God. And he ain't been the same since. Why? Because weeping may endure for a night, but all heaven, joy shall be in the presence of angels. When a sinner comes to repentance, what happened? Joy came in the morning because someone was willing to weep. Someone was willing to cry. Someone was willing to pour out their soul, was willing to shed a tear, was willing to intercede. Oh, let's not get too crazy with this weeping thing. I'm not talking about just feeling sad and being sad about a situation. When I'm talking about weeping, I'm talking about pouring out your soul before God, having such a burden grip a hold of you that you say, wait a minute, I can't let this go any longer. I can't allow this to take place anymore. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to travail before God. I'm going to cry out to God. Until morning comes. It is in John chapter 11 that we find the Bible's shortest passage, yet such a powerful example. And we know this story well as the story of Lazarus. We know how they called for Lazarus. There they called for Jesus, and his two sisters called. And we know how Jesus delayed his coming and didn't go right away. And when they got there, they said, if you had only come. And Jesus says, you don't understand. He's trying to teach them. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And nobody seemed to get it. Nobody seemed to understand it. Nobody seemed to grab a hold of what Jesus was saying. And so by the time Jesus got to Lazarus' house, not only was Mary and Martha in there crying, but all of these people had gathered in this house, and they were all crying, and they were all boo-hooing, and they were all sad, and they're trying to use physical means to deal with the spiritual thing, and it wasn't working. And it is in this passage that we find this verse that says, and Jesus wept. Something grabbed a hold of him. Something began to grip him. And they thought, oh, he's sad because Lazarus died. Oh, he's sad because his friend died. No, Jesus wasn't crying for that. A burden gripped a hold of him that here were people who were standing face to face with the truth and the life. Here were people who were standing in front of the glory of God, the manifested presence of God, and they were missing their opportunity. They were missing their moment. And Jesus was weeping, not because of his sorrow for Lazarus, but he was weeping because of his burden for them. Something has to grip the church and grab a hold of the church that says, I have got to weep when I see people who stand in the presence of the King, who know. Something has to grip us. Something has to grab a hold of us. Here is this great God of the universe who wants to touch the hearts and lives of men and women, and yet they turn to drugs, to alcohol, to perversions. They turn to all kinds of junk when the God of glory is saying, I want to help you. I want to give you peace. I want to give you love. I want to show you what it's like to live overcoming. I want to show you. And don't get me wrong. And we sit on a Sunday night and we sit comfortably in our air-conditioned room. And we sing our songs and we worship God, but something, and there's nothing wrong with any of that, but I'm trying to grab our attention to say something has to grab a hold of us. When was the last time it said Joe wept? When was the last time that I saw lost humanity, that I saw people? And the burden gripped me in such a way. When was the last time I heard about Jeff and something moved me to tears that said, I need to pray him into the church. I need to pray him to God. Oh, the Jews said, behold how he loved them. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind that caused that even this man should have not died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead said, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not to thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you? I backed up to see what he told her. I looked back in the passage to see what he told her. Do you know what he told her? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. She didn't get it. She couldn't get it. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Let me tell you, we can think all kinds of stuff about people who are dead in their trespasses and dead in their sins. And we can say, I don't. It was just a couple weeks, Brother Michael, a couple weeks ago. We were out driving down the street, and there was a man who came to this church for a good while. I don't know if you remember him. His body was covered in tattoos. And I remember him saying to me one time, you know, your church has never looked down on me. Most places I go, people look at me funny and give me cross looks, and you guys have never done that, but you've loved me. And for whatever reasons, he slipped away. God's not through with him yet. I told Brother Michael in that moment, I think we was in his pickup truck, and I stopped him. I said, stop right here. And I jumped out of the truck and ran up to him and began to talk to him. Began to tell him, hey, this church is still open to you. God still loves you. If we only believed, if we only believed, if we only believed, let me say that again, if we only believed, we would see the glory of God. If I only believed, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. His power's not short. His abilities are not lacking. There's nothing with him that cannot do it. And the issue simply is, do I believe? Because if I believe, amen, Joel. Somebody's getting with me. At least somebody's hearing it. Can I tell you a quick story? I got time, right? You guys aren't going nowhere, right? You're just going to hang around and chill out and just. We're doing everything we can. You know this. Most of you, I think all of you know this. We're doing everything we can to get that poor boy potty trained. He's got a stubborn streak that I think he gets from his mom. I'm kidding. I'm in trouble now. She knows the truth and exactly where it comes from. I can be as stubborn as the. My dad knows. He gets frustrated with me still to this day because of this crazy stubborn streak. And we're doing everything we can. And we've, I mean, literally, I've ran the gamut of everything psychologically you could try on a child. We've promised him the Brother Michael promised him a motorcycle. Now, if that don't do it, I mean, nobody is in a higher rank in this life than teacher. You know you've reached a status when you just have teacher as your name. I mean, it's teacher. It's Brother Schaefer, but it's teacher. We've promised him a night. Teachers. We've promised him candy. We've promised him toys. I've went the other route. I've done the spanking thing. I've done the... And so I tried something new. I said, Joel, you just keep trying until something clicks. I'm getting tired of teaching. Look, he's my last one. I'm normally a patient person, but I'm impatient at this point. Maybe I prayed for patience one time. This was my reward. I can lose a message real quick, can't I? So we're on our way. By the time I get to the end of the story, I won't remember why I was making this point. But we're on our way, and I tried today. I was laying there with him. I said, you know, Joel, you want to make Daddy happy? Go pee pee on the body. Do you want to make Mommy happy? And so on the way to church, we got rolling. And he says, Mommy, it make you happy? Yes. Daddy, it make you happy? Yes. Does it make teacher happy? Yes. Does it make Joey happy? Yes. Does it make Jared happy? Yes. Does it make Josiah happy? Yes. And then he said, does it make Jesus happy? Yes. If we only believed. We would put to action what we say we believe. We would put the effort to, I don't just want to be a preacher of the word. I want to be a doer of the word. I've seen enough preachers not be doers, and I've seen enough other people who proclaim, I've been told a whole lot of things in my 12 years as a pastor. I've been told, I've made, had a lot of promises made my way. And there comes a point when you're like, you know what, I've heard it enough, let's see it. Let's see what you're saying become a reality, because if you really believe what you say, you're going to do it. Your feet will begin to walk what your mouth is saying. If there was something inside of us that truly believed, we would see the glory of God manifested. We would see it when we're talking to people, when we're sharing our testimony, when we're out and about, when we're praying for people. The glory would be manifested if we believed. If we truly believed. I know this is going to sound tough, and I'm not trying to be mean, because this hits home. If we truly believed that every single person that dies without this new birth message is going to go to the lake of fire, then you know what it would do? It would stir our testimony. It would stir our hearts. There would be something gripping a hold of us. If I truly believe John 3:5, when it said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again of water and spirit, he will not enter. And then it says he will not see the kingdom of God. If I truly believe that, something should grip me when I see people. How many want to see the glory of God? want to see his glory manifested. I want to see Brother Tyson becoming a regular occurrence. When people come to this altar and they want prayed for, they need a healing and God heals them. I want to see it a regular occurrence when people come down and they want to receive the Holy Ghost and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. I want to see more people shouting, I got it. I want to see more people going down in the waters of baptism. But guess what? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm here to propose to us today that we need to enter into a season of weeping for the lost, of travail for those who are not serving God, who are not living for God, who are not loving God, who are bound by all sorts of addictions. Oh, let me move on. It was Jesus marching toward his purpose who looked over the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says in Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Something gripped him. He says, if thou hadst known, even thou at the least in thy day, the things which belong unto thy, did I preach about the peace this morning? That belong unto thy peace. He's saying, if you only knew the peace that you had the opportunity to have, if you only knew the Prince of Peace that was standing in your midst, that was walking through your cities, that was with you, but they're hid from your eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee. Here he begins to make a prophecy. But understand, he is not making this prophetic statement with a joy in his heart. Jesus is not saying this because he's condemning them and because he wants to see destruction upon them. He's saying this because he is God Almighty, who knows the end from the beginning. And he understands, because they're not turning their hearts towards him, he knows what the end is going to be. And he says there's going to be a trench. It's going to compass around thee. And it's going to keep you on every side. And thou shalt lay even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not. This grabs me. Because you didn't know the time of your visitation. It was standing right before you. It was sitting there in front of you, and you didn't know it. It was in this moment that he steps into the temple. He begins to cast out them that sold and bought, and he says, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I want you to notice he says this with a heavy heart, with a burdened heart. The Bible says that he wept over the city because they had the time of their visitation and they missed it. This is what began to grip me. How many times do people come to God and they walk away from God? And we just take the attitude, oh, well, they had their shot. They missed it. Or we cast judgment. Say, see what you're getting? You deserve that. There needs to be something in our heart for those. Sorry. I'm going to use their names. I'm not afraid to. I invested 2 years in John and Lisa. And what I hear, does it upset me? Yes. But you know what it does? It burdens me. Do you know why? Because the time of visitation was there. And right now the devil is running rampant and causing them to say things and do things that. But what happens if a church gets behind this mother? I don't like what's happening. But I'm not going to condemn, and I'm not going to judge, and I'm not going to cast down. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray, because I understand that there's a power. Weeping may endure for a night. But you know what's going to happen? I can guarantee you, joy will come in the morning when those doors split open and in walk. All of heaven will have joy when those, and I just use them, there's all plenty of others, I think back of Brother Sister O'Neill, 7 years, and we prayed, and we cried, and we prayed, and we wept, but guess what happened? Joy came. Weeping will be for but a moment. But let me tell you, the church needs to have that moment. The church needs, we as the people of God need to weep between the porch and the altar until something, the foundations begin to shake, until something begins to move, until something begins to break, until something begins to stir. Because I won't be satisfied. God won't be satisfied. Is he pleased? No. But does he want any to perish? Is he happy? No. Who hath heard such a thing? Who's heard such a thing? Have you ever heard of such a thing? Have you ever seen such a thing? That the earth is made brought forth in one day. Or a nation is born at once. The prophet is saying, in our mind's eyes, that's an impossibility. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, for as soon as Zion travails, as soon as Zion begins to travail, she brought forth her children. Let me help you understand this. I'm going to try to wrap up here real quick. The meaning of the word Zion has undergone a distinct progression. I'm sorry, throughout the Bible. It's had an advancement throughout the Bible. The first mention of Zion in the Bible was in 2 Samuel 5 and 7. When David took the stronghold, it is the stronghold of Zion. It says that is the city of David. It was the name of the fort. It was the name of the place where the ancient Jebusites had. They had control of it. And David conquered it. And it became known as as Zion. It had a name. It was at that point just a small portion of land. The name came to stand not only for the fortress, but then it began to become the name for the whole hill on which this fortress stood. It went from being just the fortress, and before long it becomes the whole hill. When Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah, which was a different mount than Zion, and he moved the Ark of the Covenant there, the word Zion began to expand in meaning to include also the Temple Mount. It began to be used to declare not just that area where David took, but it began to encompass that whole area. There's scriptures if you wanted me to tell them, but I'm not going to. It was only a short step then until Zion was used as the name of the whole city of Jerusalem. It began to expand. The ever-increasing kingdom comes to mind. I don't know where that came to mind at. But it began to expand. It began to grow. And now it starts from a fortress. It moves to a hill. It now goes to two hills. And before long, it begins to encompass the whole city of Jerusalem. Before long, it goes not only to represent Jerusalem, but it begins to represent the land of Judah. And the prophet Zechariah spoke of the sons of Zion. And by this time, it was meant to mean the whole entire nation of Israel. The spiritual meaning of Zion continued to expand in the New Testament, where its meaning expounds one more time. It grows again. And the meaning of Zion now means, it begins to mean God's spiritual kingdom. Zion begins to mean, I'm going to hopefully bring this into a tie, and I'm going to be closing real soon. He says, this begins to mean God's spiritual kingdom, the church of God and the heavenly Jerusalem. It begins to stand for the church and heaven. It has progressed time after time after time after time after time again until now Zion is the church. And when you put that thought into Isaiah 66 and 8, it begins to have clarity. When Zion travails, when Zion travails, Steve, I'm at Isaiah 66 and 8. When Zion travails, she brought forth her children. Something began to happen when Zion travailed. You see, in the natural mind, it seems like a miracle. In the natural mind, how could the world be created in a day? How could a nation be born in a moment? How could these things happen? I'll tell you how God works. He says, if my church will travail, she shall bring forth her children. If my church will begin to weep, if they'll begin to cry out, if they'll begin to pour out their soul, if they'll begin to intercede on this lost city, on the lost world, on those who have walked away from truth, and those who are lost, and if something would grip us, he says, then the miracle of birth would take place. Let's all stand. Sorry, I used so many names here tonight. probably should have not used so many names, but I just felt so bold and crazy here tonight. But I didn't say anything bad. I said the good things. Because I believe the promises of God. The word of God is yea and amen. The promises of God are yes. If something could grip our spirit, and we could begin to feel like Jesus felt in John 11, when the Bible says that Jesus wept. When he wept over those who were confused, who did not see it, who could not understand it. He didn't condemn them, he wept over them. And when he wept over a city that was lost, that had had their opportunity and yet had turned away. If we could get that heart of Jesus. And I wonder tonight if there's someone who says, you know, it's been a long time since I interceded for a city. It's been a long time since the burden has gripped me to pray for lost souls. Maybe tonight when I talk about us needing foot soldiers, I understand that not everybody is capable of going out. I understand that not everybody is capable of doing certain things. But I know everybody is capable of prayer. Everyone is capable. And if something could grab a hold of this church, something could grab a hold of this pastor. The burden of a lost city, the burden of lost souls, the burden of a lost region could grip a hold of us. He says, if you'll travail, you'll bring forth children. Does anybody believe that today? At this moment, at this time, I'm now going to open these altars. And I wonder if we could spend a little bit of time. I don't want us to rush. I hope I didn't go too long. And I don't want to do that. Because I want us to pray. I want us to seek God. I want us to travail. I want us to cry. I want us to weep. I want us to pour out our souls. Maybe tonight the burden hasn't gripped you like I've preached it. Pray that God gives you that burden. I wonder if I can have some come and gather around Sister Barb. She's under a tough situation right now. She has a lot of things coming against her and a lot of things trying to fight against her. But she's got a church family that loves her, and she's got a God who loves her. And we're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for her family. We're going to pray that God does a miracle in her life. That the hearts and lives would be changed around her. That the whole situations would be changed. That attitudes and heart. Look, I have a God who can actually literally change the hearts and attitudes of people. He is the creator of the universe. And just as he creates it, he can create. He can open a door where there was never a door before. I want us to pray right now. I want us to intercede right now. We can use this right here as our launching point. But I believe God wants to do something great. He wants to use this service tonight in a very powerful way. I don't believe he just gave this to me just to have a little message to preach on a Sunday night. I believe he's wanting to stir our hearts.